Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Following On podcast. Following on from the second one-day international of the series between India and the West Indies in Ahmedabad. It was the second match, with India having won the first three-match series. So if India were victorious, they would therefore take this series. And that is the case. They've ended up winning this game by 44 runs. The West Indies won the toss and invited India to bat. They batted first and put 237 for 9 on the board from their 50 overs. Surekumar Yadav top scored with 64, KL Rahul 49, a couple of other batsmen getting to 20s, Washington Sundar 24, Deepak Hooda 29 with the ball for the West Indies, two apiece for Alzari Joseph and Odin Smith, Kemar Roach, Jason Holder, Akhil Hussain and Fabian Allen all getting one apiece. So 238 the target for the West Indies, but they weren't able to get past 200 in the end. Bowled out for 193 with four overs to spare. The top scorer, Shamar Brooks with 44. Akhil Hussain weighed in with 34. Shea Hope, 27. Odin Smith, a very entertaining 24 down the order as they were bowled out, as I say, for 193. Shardul Thakur took 2 for 41. Let's hear from him now.
If one of the batsmen plays well and if he's able to create that partnership and lug out 2-3 shots, then, you know, game can go really close. So, yes, we were thinking, like, what to bowl to him, especially the new guy. He hit good shots and, yes, in the end, it went well for us.
Was there a thought on how best to use the two or the overs left from the off-spinner? I mean, you know Rohit well. Were you sort of aware of what his thinking was about?
I think fast bowlers were bowling really well today. And there was something in the pitch. All three seamers, myself, Prasid and Siraj, we were extracting something from the pitch. So the idea was to get wickets. If we are able to get wicket up front, then you know in the end, like it happened today, one wicket falls and suddenly the game goes away from the batting team. So that's what happened. And, you know, that's what even Rohit was thinking, to attack with fast bowlers and get as many wickets as quickly.
Prasid Krishna was the most successful bowler. Shardul Tagore, 2 for 41 from 9, as I say. Prasid Krishna, 4 for 12 from his 9 overs for India. Mohammad Siraj, Yuzvendra Chahal, Washington Sundar and Deepak Hooda all taking a wicket apiece in that. So, yes, West Indies win by 44 runs and lead the series 2-0. Delighted to say the former England fast bowlers Steve Harmison and Jay Dernbacher with myself, Andrew McKenna, on following on following that game. Well, Steve, interesting what Shardul Tagore was talking about there, that Rohit Sharma wanted to attack with the seamers, and he was certainly able to do that.
Yeah, the seamers seemed to get, obviously, a lot more out of the surface if you hit the pitch hard in around that good length. It was just that tennis ball bounce. It was actually a bit more like Barbados than it was you normally get a wicket in India or the subcontinent. I thought it would be a perfect test pitch. I'd love to have seen a test match played on that surface, because I think if you got in, you could use the bounce, and, you know, especially if you've got more time to play. But also as a bowler, you could hit a good area with slips and men round the bat. There was always something seemed to be happening, and I thought all the seamers in the game really bowled effectively into the surface. I thought Krishna was the one that was India's best bowler. And Alzari Joseph, I thought he bowled 8 perfect overs at the start. I think he had eight overs, 1 for 14 or 2 for 14 at one point. And Odine Smith got two very, very valuable wickets. So I think all in all, from a seamer's point of view, it was a good surface to bowl on. From a batsman's point of view, I thought it was more challenging, more difficult. I just thought the West Indies just kept losing wickets at wrong times and were always just behind the game when it comes to the wicket column. I think runs wise they were always in with a shout, but they always seemed to be one of their better players in the hutch when you were thinking the next development of the game is coming along.
If you weren't with us right at the start of the game, Kyron Pollard for the West Indies today. He picks up a bit of a niggle, so Kyron Pollard missed out on that. Nicholas Pooran was captain. Odine Smith came into the side. As we mentioned earlier on, Jay Dernbach, obviously Odine Smith gives you some great power down the order, but were there maybe the West Indies lacking a middle-order batsman? They just needed one more. They felt like they got to the all-rounders a little bit too early for them, particularly with sort of 2 or 3 going down in a bit of a clump.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's a great point. I think that was sort of the difference, in the sense of West Indies would have been very happy at the halfway stage, having bowled India out for 238. The reason why India managed to get to that score was they had two players in the middle order who got them there. KL Rahul, Surikumar Yadav, played beautifully, just knocked it around, absorbed the pressure, rebuilt. And even though India weren't able to kick on at the end, they still had enough runs on the board to post a target. What happened, unfortunately, for the West Indies is, as Harmy was saying, they kept losing wickets continuously, and they never really had that partnership in the middle. Okay, we had Akhil Hussain who came in towards the end and got some runs, but he faced 54 deliveries and didn't really have anyone who went with him. And Odine Smith, he's one of those players who he's either going to come off or he isn't. He's not really going to be able to manufacture an innings from that point. So I think, essentially, that middle over partnership is probably where the West Indies lost it.
I mean, just looking at the numbers, India hit 2 sixes in their 50 overs. The West Indies have hit 7. India have hit more 4s. They hit 20 to West Indies 11. I guess, Harmy, what we're saying is there is it's almost like we're getting sort of T20 cameos from the West Indian players. It just needs to be elongated out a little bit to give them that sort of consistency over the course for a 50-over match.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. And I think a lot of criticism from the West Indian batting department is more or less that top order, or that the sort of the middle order not being able to find a scoring rate which is compatible with the game, but also working out when the boundary needs to be hit and when it comes around. And just to go a little bit further on that, the partnership point, you know, the partnership, the highest partnership from India was 95. The highest partnership from the West Indies was 48. That's the difference between winning and losing the game. Two players in, getting themselves established, going on, putting a partnership together and setting their team up the middle to lower middle order in a position to advance the game when it comes to the right time, where unfortunately losing wickets at the wrong time, the West Indies were never been able to build that partnership. And you know the difference is 95 from India's point of view and 48 from the West Indies tells the tale of the difference between the outcome of the game, 44 runs that done it. So that is something that the West Indies are trying to learn. I know that for a fact because listening to Phil Simmons talking about how that batting unit gets better, I think it's not about the power middle and lower middle order. It's about putting themselves in a position to utilise that power the best they possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, the West Indies have actually lost the last four wickets for 34 in 44 balls. But that's not the issue, is it? Because it was actually the lower order that got them as close as they did in the first place, which is the point you're making, Harmy.
Yeah, and that's happened time after time. And I think that's the frustrating thing that a lot of the TV commentators from the West Indies have been talking about. We are, how do we get ourselves in 50-over cricket with 20 overs to go, three wickets down in such a position to then go and get 9-10 and over off the last 12 overs, 15 overs, and put ourselves in a position where we get above par score. How many times do we hear commentators talk about West Indian cricket this year? Well, they're going to have to bowl well because they're just slightly below par when it comes to batting first. And that's the challenge that West Indies have got at this minute in time. We've seen it in the shorter format in 2020s, not long ago, out in the Caribbean, where you said there were a few runs short and then all of a sudden, crash, bang, wallop, the last five overs have gone bang, but they still end up 10, 15 runs short of a game and they lose it comfortably. And I think that's just happened again today.
In terms of the West Indies, Jade, they've now lost their last 10 one-day internationals away from home, genuine away games. Their last win was actually in India, in Chennai, back in December 2019. How do they make that step then? Is it a case of sticking with this group of players and just saying, look, we have to see where this takes us? Or, I mean, does it look like there's enough in this group of players for you?
There's certainly enough with this group of players. The talent's there to be seen by all. I think you've got to look at your senior players, certainly in games like that. The likes of Darren Bravo. I know today we thought he might have been a tad bit unlucky to be given out with the outside edge. But it's players like him, Nicholas Puran, who's played a lot of cricket now, to be able to weather the storm and take the game deep. You know, we it's all too often we see the likes of Nicholas Puran scoring hundreds or 50-odd balls or 60 balls and we lay plaudits on these players. But it's actually sometimes, as Harmy will attest, it's these scrappy games when you're chasing the 220s, the 230s. Can you go in there and get me a 50, 60 off 100 balls or 80 balls to take the team over the line? Those are the sorts of things West Indian cricketers need to see. I think we can see all the flashy stuff. We know they've got pace. We know they can hit sixes. Can you do the ugly stuff?
Well, let's hear what the captain made of it. Nicholas Puran is speaking with Murali Kartik.
Really up, you know, that 39 to over was very crucial for us with Fabian, Akilu getting out there.
It seems like a similar pattern. How do you think the batsman or the team can arrest this slide or stop this from happening again and again?
The more cricket we play together, hopefully, you know, it helps us as batsmen. I think we just need to, you know, continue to back our skills, continue to be aggressive and, you know, build on confidence.
What's the state of Karan Pollard? Is he going to be fine for the final game?
Yeah, he's a tough guy. He's a big guy. He'll be fine, I'm sure.
And your words on what Udin Smith did today with the ball and with the bat?
Yeah, obviously special as well. He's a strong guy. He runs up and bowls 145 and he smashes it. As far as anyone, you know, he's very young. You know, you're a bit inexperienced, but the more games you play and gain that experience, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
The series gone. What can we expect from your West Indian side for the final game?
You know, definitely coming out and playing hard again. You know, you saw with the ball today, we obviously, you know, we did a really good job, wonderful job, well bowled to them. So, you know, hopefully in the last game, we could come out and execute our skills again as a bowling unit. And, you know, hopefully with the bat, we could, you know, put some partnerships together. You know, hopefully we can get some big runs and get a victory.
Thanks for the time and see you in a couple of evenings.
Thank you.
Thanks for the chat.
Cheers. Nicholas Puran speaking with Murali Kartik. Murali Kartik looking like he's auditioning for a part in the next Kingsman film with a very nice trilby. I've never seen a man do a post-match presentation with a trilby on before, but that's Murali Kartik for you. So, Harmy, we heard Nicholas Puran there saying they're going to be coming out hard for the final match of this series. There was definitely an improvement from game one to game two today. We mentioned earlier on that having to fly from the Caribbean and only a couple of days before this series started, they didn't have much of a way to actually get their feet on the ground, the West Indies. Look, the series is gone, and so some people would say it's hollow, whatever they do in the third game. But they need an improvement. They need something tangible out of this series. That means winning the third game if they can, doesn't it?
No, the third game is as important, if not more important now than the last two. Yes, the series is gone, but they're playing for the ranking points in the ODI Championship, and they don't want to go through the qualifying stage like they had to go through to get into I think it was England, or was it the England qualifying stage for the 2019 World Cup, or the last World Cup that they qualified for. They don't want to have to go through that. So you get points for winning games. So that is just as important in the next game. How can they get better? Yes, Kieran Pollard will come in and give them a little bit more guidance in that middle order and stability in the middle order. They might have to change one of the batters up top, take some responsibility, because when you look at it, Jason Holder played a lot of, and I think the world of Jason Holder. I think he's not only a fantastic cricketer, he's a good man as well. He's played a poor shot for a senior player. You look at Darren Bravo, like Jade mentioned, he was unlucky, but the sub-story of Darren Bravo just keeps going on. And Brooks, even though he's relatively inexperienced, he's got 44 runs there, looking not too badly, got himself over a difficult period, and just chipped one up in the air. And that's the difference. That's the difference between how India have getting over the line and the West Indies fallen too short. They are in a rebuild. Their top six hasn't got a player like what the top nations have got, like a world-class player. Puran's good, but he's not world-class as a Babar Azam, a Virat Kohli, a Steve Smith, Joe Root, that bats really well in one-day international cricket. They're probably one world-class batsman in the top six short. And because of that, they need to work a lot harder as a unit to try and get the bowlers and a chance to win games.
Jay Dernbach, just some final thoughts on you then. So we're going to come down to a final game on Friday. We'll be back on just before 7:30 Friday morning. Be interesting to see what India do, because they've got quite an enlarged squad of players because they had the COVID issues coming into this series. Gaikwad was the only man of that squad who wasn't available for today. So they could change it around a little bit more for Friday with that in mind. Or do they go foot on the throat and say, no, thank you very much, we're going for 3-0?
I'd be surprised if they didn't change their side. It's a great opportunity to have a look at some other players. On the flip side of that, again, it's another great opportunity for the West Indies to bounce back. There's still some T20 cricket to be played. And as we know, it's always important to try and take as much momentum as possible into the remaining fixtures. There's certainly some young fellas in that side who want to cement their place, the likes of Shamar Brooks, Odine Smith for that matter. As we say, Pollard's probably going to come back into the side. After Smith's performance, it's going to be hard to drop him. So who's going to leave that side? Is it going to be the likes of Darren Bravo? Are we going to see a mix-up in the top of the order, as we said? Because we can't keep seeing the same things from the West Indies. If they want to move forward and build and progress, we're going to have to start seeing some different things from them.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been an absolute blast for the last however many hours. We'll do it all again on Friday morning with you just before 7:30 in time for the toss. So India have got the series already in the bag, but there are still vital points for the one-day international championship still to play for. It means there are no dead rubbers anymore in international cricket. That third game is coming your way on Friday morning here on TalkSport 2. We're about to get underway for the second one day. Kinaros to Rohit Sharma, who's edged and caught behind. Bit more bounce. What a wicket for the West Indies that is.
Strong and it's short and straight up in the air. And that is going to be caught as mid-wicket comes around. Jason Holder takes an easy catch.
This could be out. That's out.
That's a caught behind and it is. Odian Smith again. He's got this on a length. And Virat Kohli's tried to hit this and it's just moved away. and it is caught behind.
And it's edged and dropped. Shea Hofer's just dropped. Kel Rahul.
Kel Rahul, square drives. Will be fielded out on the boundary by Akil Hussain. Oh no, it's going to be a run out.
Kel Rahul and Sri Kumar Yadav have gone in a terrible mix-up, and Kel Rahul's been run out.
That is Sri Kumar's 50. He's disappointed, actually, because he really thought he deserved more than just one there. Struggled when he came out, but everyone was struggling at that point. I think he's been the pick of India's batters, though.
Down on one knee. It's a top edge, and it's caught at short fine leg, and Abhishek Jhunjhunwala has called it completely, and Sri Kumar Yadav has perished. Washington Sundar down the pitch using his feet and chips it to Alzari Joseph at long on and is caught.
Short, wide, slashed away by Huda, and he's out. So after all that, next ball's out anyway, and the number 11 is going to be coming in. And they've decided not to run at all, and that is it. 237 for 9.
It's gone in and he's got an edge. Brandon King has had a big waft off the back foot of that. And Krishna, third ball of his spell, takes the wicket.
Umpire Nitin Menon has given it not out. Now, there's a big conversation from the DRS committee of the Indian side, and Rohit Sharma is going to review.
Well, the third umpire has said to Nitin Menon, you need to overturn that as there was a spike. Bravo will go.
There's the slog sweep and he's out. I thought Hope hit that pretty well. I reckon they might have moved long on just a couple of feet squarer after the shot he played before.
He's got an edge. He's got a third wicket. He has Pooran. Pooran goes for 9. Krishna has 3 for 4.
Sharma goes in. It's a short ball. Jason Holder high on the bat. It's looped out onto the leg side. Catch will be taken.
Back over the bowler's head goes the batsman, but he doesn't get all of it. And Shamar Brooks' innings is over.
Siraj in again, short, wide, and Fabian Allen, has he got an edge? Yeah, I think he has, and he's caught behind. He's hit this straight up in the air, and he's out. Short at the body. He tried to work this. It gets harder for the West Indies. I'm not sure they can come back from this.
Final ball of the over as the fireworks are starting. Fireworks have started for Odie Smith. Swung into the leg side. He's got it high. He's not got the distance. And the catch will be taken. That's full in front of the stumps. Takes Roach on the pad. LBW is given. Roach goes for a duck. And the West Indies are bowled out for 193. And it means the West Indies are beaten. India win by 44 runs and they go 2-0 up in this three-match series.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.